الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم، إلى آخر الآية. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Today we are in the first of a new Islamic year. And hopefully all of us are conscious of that. When it is 1st of January, everyone knows. But 1st of Muharram, how many of us knew? And ulama, it is not from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but ulama have written a dua also for the beginning of the year. For the end of the year, for the beginning of the year, we should try and find that dua. That dua, it is not so lengthy, but because we don't read it every day, so perhaps we don't remember it, but read it from the kitab and try and read this dua with the meaning. You are ulama becoming alims, we know Arabic, try and read it with the meaning, inshallah. Anyway, the coming of the new Islamic year is a very great and significant thing in our lives, and we should pay a lot of attention to it. First of all, a little bit history of our Islamic calendar, the Hijri year. We all know it is the Hijri, so it is connected with Hijrah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his time of Khilafat, it had come to him, Allah had inspired him that we the Muslims must have our own year also. Before that, the normal calculation, it appears, was mostly done by the Miladi year, that is, from the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was born. And they should count the days according to that. But then, now, for that we are a distinguished nation, a separate, unique nation. And may Allah make that we can realize that we are a different nation from all the others. So much so, that we all are aware, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once reading the Torah in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam became very angry. Torah was the kitab also of Allah, which Allah had revealed. And then when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala brought this to his attention, here is another great lesson for us to learn, that whenever the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu apprehended on whom that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has become angry, is upset, they should read Radina billahi rabban wa bil islami deena wa bi sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam rasulan wa nabiyya. So when we also apprehend that perhaps we have upset Allah, we have angered Allah by our wrong thoughts, our wrong actions, then we should also try and read, and with fervor and from the heart, and repeat it, Radina billahi rabban wa bil islami deena wa bi sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam rasulan wa nabiyya. Shaitan puts a lot of wasawis all the time. Sometimes we might think some other nation is better in this, na'uzu billah, or some other way is better. Then when we come to our senses, immediately read Radina billahi rabban. May Allah give us tawfiq. So Islam is a complete and unique way. And in every aspect, so much so that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, jazahumullah khair, gave us our own calendar also. And from where must the calendar start? So they made mashura, it is a bit detailed, but just to try and make it brief, there were many things on which the Islamic calendar could start, but they decided on the time of Hijrat. And in there was that the ummah will learn a lesson every year when the calendar starts again, the new year starts, that we are from the Hijrat. And Hijrat was that Hijrat, of course, from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara. It wasn't really the two places, though in reality it is, of course, those two places which make them also so honorable, but in reality it was a hijrat from where we could not practice Islam to where we can practice Islam. Where in Madinatul Munawwara, the time came where they could practice Islam freely. But of course, at the beginning, they were also under great trials and tribulations. They had to keep their swords all the time with them. They slept with fear. They woke up with fear because the enemy had in fact intensified. The Munafiqeen were there, which were the very terrible enemy from inside. The Jews were there, and the non-believers had made an alliance against Islam. So there were a lot of fears also. But they worked with this zeal and determination that the time will come that we will be able to practice Islam very, very freely. And we should also consider the great, great sacrifices the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum made, and in the personal example of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So anyway, the Islamic calendar came to be established then, and with all the sacrifices, so we can be reminded every year that when the first of Muharram comes, in which year are we now? 1439, the new year. So that we can be every year reminded that what great sacrifices were made, and that we also have to make hijrah from our past life and make hijrah from where we cannot practice Islam to a place where we can practice Islam freely. Allah has been so kind to us that in this time, this places, He gave us the environment of the madrasa where we can practice Islam fully. But unfortunately, we don't take heed of it. And we don't practice Islam as it is supposed to be practiced. We have got every opportunity. There may be some things that we cannot, but the vast majority of things we can practice. And how much are we practicing? And Allah Ta'ala's system is also, how much you can practice and you do so much, Allah opens more doors. And Allah opens doors for other people. We might feel very sorry for the Rohingya Muslims, and definitely we have to. And we must make lot of dua also. And that, for example, they can't practice Islam, the government is such. But yeah, we, especially here in the Darul Uloom, we have got no real interference or anything. And let us see for our namazes, how much are we coming? In the madrasa, how much are we dressing according to Islam, etc. May Allah give us tawfiq. And the real hijrat, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an. That a true muhajir is that person who makes hijrat from the things which Allah had made haram upon him. May Allah make it that this talk is beneficial for me, for all of us. It is not just a matter of saying a few words, but that we try and take it to heart and we try and bring it into our lives. Usually also at the age most of us are youngsters, in our teens most of us, so we don't really pay heed. Very fortunate will be that person who will pay heed and he will bring this into his life. As much as possible, that person will benefit tremendously. Also, one thing I forgot to mention at the beginning, which I usually try to mention, and that was reciting of Durood Sharif. Allah give us tawfiq to recite Durood Sharif on a daily basis. And the bare minimum that we should recite, 10 times every morning, 10 times every evening, which is not lot, and there is great fazilat for that also. And we should try and read more than that. And everyone, may Allah make us conscious. And we just read Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Afterwards, there are many, many Durood Sharif formulas, sighat. We can read those beautiful and we will also get the enjoyment. And at night also read 10 times. In the morning, we do it, so to say, officially. We have little zikr after Fajr namaz, the 10 times Durood. But even in that, ask ourselves, how many of us are really reading? To even read that 10 times Durood, which is so important. Anyway, so, and on Juma, we should try and increase more. As much as we can, we should try and read Juma. On Juma, much more Durood Sharif. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And there are certain Duroods that we read them even less. But the reward is very great. like Jazallahu Anna Sayyidana Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Ma Huwa Ahlu, or just Jazallahu Anna Muhammadan Ma Huwa Ahlu. The great, great rewards are in there. And the Durood Ibrahimi, at least one time we should also read that. That is the greatest Durood which Allah has put for us in our namaz. Then great, great people, pious people, great, great ulama, their beautiful Durood Sharifs also which have been narrated, we should try and read them also. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Anyway, so this is our new year has started. And it is a reminder that we should turn a new leaf also. And everyone takes stock of ourselves the past year. Where were my weaknesses? Where was I negligent, etc.? Make tawbah, istighfar, and come into a new year. General istighfar of all our wrongs we should make that also. That is very important also. And particularly what we know, I'm lazy in namaz, for example, or I'm not with takbir-e-ula, I've been very, very negligent. Whatever it is, try and improve two things also. Allah will be very, very happy. Don't just let it come. We came into a new year and we're still carrying on in our old way and we don't bring any change. Like that, a person lives till the age of 20, 30, 50 and no real change comes in his life. But if we make a little change, we make a resolution. And it is also little advisable from my experience, whatever resolution we have made, write it down. And try and keep it somewhere where our eyes will fall on it every day. That this year I made this resolution that I'm going to make my namaz with takbir-e-ula. This year I've made this resolution, I'm going to read Durood Sharif every day, 10 times. It seems small and it seems insignificant, but the results of it will be very, very big. Then when the new year has come, we've got our new calendar, then we should also become conscious of a complete Islamic lifestyle. In fact, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should keep the roza of the 10th of Muharram in Makkatul Mukarrama also. When he came to Madinatul Munawwara, he found the Jews are also keeping roza on this day. So he asked them, "For what are you keeping roza?" They said that on this day Allah gave salvation to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and the Bani Israel from the clutches of Fir'aun. And in that shukriya, appreciation, yeah, we learn also that when we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, one way of making shukr is by fasting also. Mostly we make shukr, when we want to show it, we make shukr to Allah by feasting. We have a da'wat, we call people that Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me with this namat, my son has become a hafiz, whatever, any other great occasion, but by fasting also we should show our appreciation. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, when he got citizenship of Saudi, then he kept 40 rozas to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah has blessed him with this great ni'mat. So we also, Allah give us tawfiq, that we make shukr in this way. So then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we are more accurate followers of Musa Alaihi Salaam than those present days Jews were of Musa Alaihi Salaam. We follow Musa Alaihi Salaam more than what the Jews follow. We follow Isa Alaihi Salatu Wasalam more than what the Christians follow. We follow Ibrahim Alaihi Salatu Wasalam more than what anyone else thinks they follow Ibrahim Alaihi Salatu Wasalam. So he said, we are more rightful to keep roza. Then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam kept roza on the 10th. Till then, the 10th of Muharram, the roza was farz. And then now it was abrogated, it was no more farz when Ramzan rozas became farz. But the sunnah of it was still remained. And then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam also said that I will keep the 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th to show that we are different from the Jews. They keep only on the 10th, we will keep 9 and 10 or 10 and 11. From this, ulama generally says that it is sunnah to keep 9 and 10 or 10 and 11. And the rest of the month, of this auspicious month, every roza is equal to 30 days roza. So that is a great, great virtue also. And if we can, we should do how much we rosas we can keep in this month. Otherwise, Monday, Thursday rosa. That one rosa is equal to 30 days rosa. 30 days rosa. One important thing, wish to highlight for myself, for all of us, is that these months which are so honorable, which are three in a row, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, and Muharram. And Rajab is one month separately. And these months were honored by, in the Ayyam-e-Jahiliyyah also. They should regard this as great and honorable months. One particular instruction Allah has given for these days, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not do any harm to yourself during these days. There are two interpretations the ulama give. That is, warfare in these days was not permitted. And there is details of it, when it is or how, etc. But the other that applies to us is that do not do any wrong during these honorable days. The ulama have written that as far as places are concerned, they are honorable and great places. Many places. The Haram of Makkah Sharif, the whole Haram of Makkah. Then the Haram Sharif itself. And then the Kaaba even much more. So, and the Masaf again so much. The Hatim, which is part of the Kaaba, so much there. Then the Haram of Medina Sharif, the whole of Medina, the Haram of Medina, the Masjid al-Nabawi, then right at the Rawza-e Mubarak, how much more? Baytul Maqdis, which we commonly call Baytul Muqaddas, there also, which it is also. And then every Masjid also. So in any of these places, do not do anything wrong. We find we fall into fault and wrong right at the in the Haram of Makkah. For example, usually it's common family groups sit together between Asr and Maghrib, with the children running around and running around. They're dressing also, we see, unfortunately, and they are playing games also. Especially if we go right up on the open deck, there is even more. And then a lot of times we fall into biting there also. So that is also a very serious thing that we just talking, discussing, and we are backbiting. Our voices get raised and we are not allowed to raise our voices in the masjid. Or we are just talking of dunya things, which is a common subject everywhere. Either we are talking of politics, either we are talking of sports, we are talking of weather, etc. So in any masjid, and Haram Sharif of Makkah, and right near the Kaaba, then the taking of photos and videos, which has become so common, taking selfies, etc., all these things. So all this we should be very careful. If we do harm, ulama have written in these Mubarak places, then that harm becomes a habit to a person. And we go more and more further away from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us all. In the same way, Masjid al-Nabawi also we find this happen. Though no family groups, the women are completely separate, alhamdulillah, in Masjid al-Nabawi. But lot of men and the women on their side also formed a little groups. And they sit and discuss. And there again, all these etiquette are very, very important. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu in his time found two people talking in Masjid al-Nabawi. Imagine how much they kept the laws of Allah in mind. He didn't shout and call them. Sometimes we get carried away. A person is doing wrong and to correct him we do more wrong. We shout even more and we use wrong language also sometimes. But we have to be careful. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu just took a pebble and just threw it lightly at one person so that no noise is made. And then quietly whispered to him, those two people called them to me. Then he asked them from where they are. They were from Taif. He said, had you been from the people of Medina, I should have whooped you. Because you're talking loudly here by Masjid, in Masjid al-Nabawi, near the Rawza-e Mubarak. And today, right in front of Rawza-e Mubarak, we all know how we carry on, how we behave. May Allah Ta'ala give us the adab of Masjid-e-Nabawi. Many times we say we are going for Hajj, Umrah, etc. And especially if it's nafal, that we want to go and get more sawab, we don't know that we have we got more sawab, or did we come back with some gunas from there. We are happy satisfying our nafs and massaging our nafs. We went for Umrah, etc. But have we got sawab, or did we come back with perhaps more sin? Did we go closer to Allah, or have we come further away? And this also, Allahu Akbar, so many instances are written of people who went for Hajj also. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who should make every year Hajj, Nafal Hajj. On one occasion he went and he found in one place that two sisters, very, very destitute, poor, had nothing whatsoever. They were going to eat a bird, a dead bird, carrion. So when he told them, how can you eat this? They said, it's haram for you, it's halal for us, that we haven't ate for so long. Like at the moment, the poor Rohingya Muslims, up to 7 days, more days, without any food whatsoever. What misery and difficulties, what their flight. But the main thing they want is food. They're so hungry. The people have seen, father has seen his whole family dying of starvation. And what terrible condition. So anyway, when he saw this and he realized it, that they're so desperate, he called his treasurer, the person who was keeping his money, and he asked him, how much money have we got? They had a 1,000 dinars, gold coins. That's a lot of money. So he said he calculated for us to get back home, we will need 20 dinars. The rest, 980, he gave it to those young girls. And he said, you people take this. So yeah, we learn many lessons that at this moment we all love our umrahs, etc. also, but where the need is more, that is a much more greater thing. And at this moment the need for these poor Rohingya Muslims, many other places also, is very, very great. By all means we go for our umrah, no problem whatsoever. But let us think of the suffering Muslims also, how desperately they are in need. Lot of other people are also in need, and we hardly think of them. What breakfast we all must have had this morning, I don't think we thought of them. Allah make us maaf. Perhaps one dua didn't come out also from our mouth. Now ready lunch will be served when we go home. Everywhere, everything. What those people? No idea of any food whatsoever. And there are many other people who are also going through this difficult times and plight. Then also ulama have written, which is also very important, there are certain times which Allah has given preference over other times. Like now, the time of Jummah Salah, this is a very Mubarak time. All five times namaz. And then the month of Ramadan is also Mubarak. These four months, Ashhur-e-Hurum, the Rajab, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, also very, very blessed months. So these times also, there are places also, there are times also. And there are people also. Allah chose the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. Nobody can reach that level. Then there are the Siddiqeen. Then there are all the Salihin. All the other great people, the ulama, those people who are engaged in da'wat and tabligh, any other dini work, etc. These people also, their position. So our relationship with them also, we must be very, very careful. We must not undermine any person's position. Who is of, especially those who are close to Allah. And there are many people who we regard as ordinary people. For example, now to this place where the refugees are in Bangladesh, two people who went are CAs, chartered accountants. And they look like ordinary people, chartered accountants. Normally we say the dunya people. One of them was Hafiz al-Quran also. But what great work they went into there. So we don't know, we might think this person is a dunyadar, but what his relationship to Allah Ta'ala is. And there are many such. They met there two Saudis also, who at the beginning didn't disclose who they actually were. They said, we're just like touring. But they had come there solely to help these people. And to help a person in his difficulty. What great reward by Allah Ta'ala. We cannot not imagine our tahajjud, our rozas, nafil rozas, our all other ibadat, and to help a person who is in difficulty. And what great difficulty these people are in. And there are many people who have gone, who are going, who are there. May Allah Ta'ala, anyone, every Muslim especially, may let us appreciate them. And let us have good relationship with them. We might hurt, it comes clearly in the hadith, a person who hurts the wali of Allah Ta'ala. Allah declares war against that person. And we don't know really, this person might look like a wali, and somebody else might not look as a wali of Allah, but he might be a very great wali of Allah Ta'ala. So we have to be very careful. Our relations with such people, how we maintain, how we deal with them, is also very, very important. So all these things have got great value by Allah Ta'ala. These times which are so valuable, these places which are so valuable, and these people who are so valuable, all of them may we be on our guard all the time. And appreciate, if we do good in these times, Allah pushes us more forward. And like the Hajar-e-Aswad at the Kaaba Sharif, when we finish our last tawaf and we are leaving, it puts a stamp on us. How we had behaved there, like that stamp is put on us, and we go with that. And that will be our habits afterwards. If a stamp is put on our disobedience there, our negligence there, then we see many people who come from Hajj Umrah, who do good work, but afterwards they turn, they change for the worse. That Allah Ta'ala protect us. And if a person did good, then Allah puts a stamp of goodness, and that person changes for the better. So yeah, in the madrasa also, we should be very careful. The madrasa is a place, all the madaris, even a maktab, these are places where the purpose is ilm of deen, for it to be taught, etc. So whether we in our boarding also, we should be careful. And then more particularly, when we are in the classrooms, where we got our kitabs open, and please, for all of us, when our kitabs are open, hadith kitabs are open, tafsir is open, or some other kitab, fiqh kitab, which is also a great, great kitab, and we got our cell phones, and we are busy with that. It must not happen, we are harming. Everyone will think, mashallah, student, final year, Dora. And we all respect us for that. But if we are doing something wrong there, then it can be very, very dangerous for us. And in the masjid, raising of our voices, talking loudly, destroying the sanctity of the masjid, besides all the pious people which are here. Many students are so pious. Many asatis are. What position they have by Allah Ta'ala. And many are pious people. The malaika in the masjid. We are causing difficulty to the malaika when we make a noise in the masjid or outside the masjid and the sound comes into the masjid. We are causing great, great difficulty to them. Just like a person who might have eaten garlic. Well, that doesn't really happen today, raw garlic or onions, but smoking it could happen. And we come with that smoking smell into the masjid. We cause great harm and just talking loudly, how much of harm? And fortunate will be those people who in a nice way try and control this. That we don't cause a bigger problem, but we try and control it. But many of us, we are just indifferent to it. It means nothing to us. The wrong is done in front of our eyes. And how many of us really even feel bad about it in our hearts? Whereas it is the duty of every Muslim, how we can within our means that we try and control these things. Then there are other gunas also, which as youngsters we get involved in very easily. We should be very careful of that during our student days. And shaitan has made it such that you are still young, you can't help it. You do commit this gunas, everyone makes this gunas. And we just take it that it's a light guna, but it is very harmful. And this is a great deception of shaitan. That for example, when a person has got a great desire to commit a sin, whether it's masturbation, whether it is going on porn, etc., and he feels, my desire is too strong, I can't control myself. But that is a great deception of shaitan. If at that time when you want to do that, and even a small child is to come there, now you are shy. Now the desire of yours has evaporated. Just like a person has got anger, it's easier to understand it with that, and he feels, I just can't control myself. I'm so angry at this time, and I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. It's impossible for me to control myself. A person of more strength comes there, and he asks, what's the matter? And immediately your anger is gone. So that was just a matter of shaitan deceiving us. Any guna, don't let us not deceive us, that I just can't help it. This last time I'm committing this guna. After this, never again I will do it. That's also a big trap of shaitan. Just be firm and really, like especially in these Mubarak places, the madrasa, the classrooms, the masjid, we stay away, Allah will make the forward journey for us very, very easy. There are many more things also with regard to this. The shabbuh, when we imitate other nations, other people, and especially if it's in the dini matters, like Easter eggs, for example, during the Easter period, or any other thing, and even like that, which are their things, the tie, for example. There are many other things, we should not imitate the other people. It's a very, very serious matter also. Unfortunately, that also, because it's so much in the vogue, we take it very lightly. And we don't realize the seriousness of it. And that is, we were here in the masjid at this time. And how many Muslims at this time of Jummah are not in the masjid? They are somewhere else. Some people, because of some majburi, their job, the boss doesn't allow. But some people, of their choice, they are in wrong places at this time. And so to observe the times, the places, and the man, may Allah give us tawfiq, this will take us a long way. May Allah give us the true understanding of deen, and only He give us the tawfiq to make amal accordingly, and let us try and please Allah in every way.